Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Jamie Williams, wealth advisor here with Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that is very passionate for many of our EIG family members, as well as our clients and our colleagues. And today, I'd like to introduce my fellow wealth advisor and co-host of the show, Heather Deaton. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. I'm excited to talk about this.
Yes. As we know, since my time here at Ellenbecker, I've really opened up my mind to charitable giving. Mm-hmm. It's become something that I think many of our clients are passionate about. It's definitely something that's within our culture here at EIG. And there's so many things that we can, explore and talk about. But today we really want to get into, your background a little bit about how you've become educated in this area. Today we want to share with our listeners and people tuning into our show ideas on how they can fulfill some of their personal goals around this topic.
Yeah, you're right. This is really part of the fabric of what we do here at Ellenbecker. When we work with clients, when we engage in the community, that culture of philanthropy is very strong here. And it's strong mm-hmm. in many places. Also considering how can you build that in yourself? How can you build that in your family? How can you be an example for others? That's one of the best byproducts
sure.
of having your own, just to kind of name it, like your personalized philanthropic plan.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And that ties in with so many things. Like people might be passionate about educating others. I mean, we've got people that have faith-based goals and missions. Mm-hmm. But whether it's their church or their nonprofit that supports the veterans.
Sure.
Or so many different things. And I think where I'd like to start today is just kind of thinking about, why it's important and some of your personal experiences around educating those that may be involved. I know that you've met with some leaders of organizations.
I have. There's a lot of different tax benefits and different vehicles that I love to help people mm-hmm. understand that more for their own personal giving, like when I work with clients, doing seminars in the community, but then also for nonprofit leaders, for fundraising professionals to understand so they can kind of talk some of that same language while they're building relationships with their donors and their prospective donors. That's really where philanthropy and where the that kind of relationship starts is sure. aligning the donor with the nonprofit, starting from a donor's values and what's most important to them, talking about the why. Where is the motivation? Like that's sure. that's probably the key component to a personalized plan. And if a nonprofit can help a prospective donor build that out while they build that relationship, that's going to benefit not just that nonprofit. It benefits the donor. It benefits, the community and other ways that that person or that family wants to give back. But that why, going back to just what your money story is, mm-hmm. Even again, leading into, the motivation involved. Is it because you want to, give back to places that you really and you and your family really had a benefit from? Is it that you want to set an example for your family, right? Yeah. I know that's something that I'm very involved with a few different nonprofits. But I really do hope that that's instilled that those kinds of values in our kids and even yep. in my husband. I think I've pulled him along more so than he has led me over the years when it comes to giving back, being involved. So if you want to be an example for your family, if you want to be an example for your peers, that's something that Ellenbecker Investment Group really wants to be a leader and has been a proven leader in giving back to the community.
Most definitely.
Through all the things that yep. we do for the community, our, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Podcast. We have quarterly charitable, wish list drives for different organizations, as advisors, like you
That's
were saying,
right.
Jamie, mm-hmm. like really working with clients to let them see what their future could be. And not just for their family or themselves, but also for their community and places that they're passionate about.
So, I love it. As planners, it's something that we bring into the fold, mm-hmm. typically right off right out of the gate when we're sitting down and getting to know people. And I think you touched on something earlier that's really important, is forging a connection between the donor and the recipient, the nonprofit organization that relies so heavily on those different, I think we call them like the four T's.
Yeah, the four T's. Yep. The
right.
Time. That's one of the ways to give would be your time. So volunteering on a Saturday morning, on a Wednesday afternoon, being on a board, right? Bringing some of your talents, whether that's in the programming of an organization. If you're a really great carpenter, you know, there's construction organizations, right? That would
missions
that would be happy to have
houses.
You. Yeah, building houses. Maybe like we did as Ellen Becker Group when we did our mission trip to Mexico to build houses. Many people like Jamie had experience that they were able to, you know, bring to that. Other people like me just were there to do what I was told, right? And so all that kind of time counts.
That's right. Yep. It took everybody, all of their talent, and everybody stepped in and obviously fulfilled what their personal abilities were or whatnot, but far from the expert. I could swing a hammer, right? But not perfect.
Yeah, so, right. But, you know, thinking about your treasure, that's a lot
that's
of what
giving,
charitable
right?
giving yeah. looks like, and what philanthropy looks like is when you're doing donations, when you're structuring, you know, beneficiary gifts and things like that. And we'll get into those different tactics and strategies from a financial planning perspective, certainly. But even like your own ties, sharing a nonprofit with your network, cheerleading for them, that's a testimony, right? So I used to always say four T's, and then I learned another fifth one, which is testimony. So, you know, those are all of the different ways to think about how you want to engage in your community. So, you know, we talked about the why. We talked a little bit about the how. There's more details on that. But even the when do you want to do this, right? When is the right timing for you to fulfill your philanthropic plan, right? When would that be, from what you need for your family, what you may have down the line, what you have in excess today? Any nonprofit will tell you every bit helps. So there is nothing, there's no small gift.
That's right.
You know, there's no small gift when it comes to treasure, time, talent, testimony, and ties. Well, another important step in a personalized philanthropic plan is where.
Right.
So like we've already mentioned.
How, where?
Yeah.
Who, what, why, when, where,
yep,
right?
Yep, exactly. And so there's that connection. So I always really encourage people to, you know, really take a look at where your values are.
Absolutely.
What is it that you are passionate about? Again, that ties into motivation, but just, you know, what organizations call to you, what makes the most sense for you, where have you built trust? So that a donor and a nonprofit, that relationship has a very strong trust factor there, that organization's going to hold your donations and contributions in good stewardship. And every nonprofit needs to understand that that's their responsibility, and they do. It's difficult to find a nonprofit that is irresponsible, but it is important to make sure that who you're giving to is responsible.
Most definitely.
So, you know, just kind of at that bigger picture, most people contribute to more than just one place, right? So you may have different levels of philanthropy you want to do with different organizations to fulfill, again, where your real values are.
I love the fact that many organizations will embrace the volunteerism options and give, you know, employees like a day or days to just be a volunteer somewhere.
Yeah.
I know that you do quite a bit of that, and you actually are part of a nonprofit. How important is that to these organizations, especially like the one the main one that you're involved in,
Fondy Food Center. So I'm on the board for Fondy Food Center. I've been on the board for over 8 years. I serve as the president of the board of directors. So
amazing.
My connection to Fondy is very strong and has, you know, precedes even my board service. I've been around the organization for a dozen years. I started by just being a shopper at the Fondi Farmers Market, which is one of the programs at the Fondi Food Center.
And for clarification, that is not all the way up in Fond du Lac.
Correct.
Right?
It is in the city of Milwaukee, in the Lindsay Heights neighborhood. You know, what is largely a food desert, had been a food desert. There was some better grocery stores and access to food that had come into the neighborhood. And now we're seeing a transition of many grocery stores leaving the city of Milwaukee.
I think it was on the news this morning. Yeah, I just saw something about that.
Yep. And so that's really an issue. But I started by learning about the Fondi Farmers Market that has, you know, a strong mission of healthy food access, entrepreneurship support for small vendors and specifically small family farmers by also running a farm project where small farmers can have affordable land access. Without any farmers, there are no farmers markets. So without land access, there's no farmers. Without affordable land access, it's not a vocation that's sustainable. So all of that ties together, and why I became so passionate about it is because of that full circle of being able to have great local produce at farmers markets, have it where that is, you can make a living being a farmer, and having a place to sell your, again, your local produce. So I'm in that organization. So what you had asked about,
largely volunteer driven.
We have a small and mighty team. The impact of Fondi is incredible and important, and we need people to serve on our board. We need people, volunteers, to run our fundraising events. We need volunteers. Like, we need a strong volunteer core. And that means that they are available to come and help at the market, come and help at the farm. We don't have staff to do all the different jobs it takes to clean up a market space, run a market space, you know, have surveys. We've done surveys of the shoppers. That's important metrics. Working the booth where we provide electronic benefits transfer, so EBT, so Quest Card and Food Share benefits, where they can bring their food stamp card to the office and we can give them tender to spend at the farmers. It's a big operation. And without that tender being able to be spent with those farmers, they can't take food stamps. So that means somebody comes to a farmer's market and they rely on their food stamp.
It's a way to create a market.
It creates the market. Yeah. We always fundraise for matching dollars. So thank you for giving me that time.
Absolutely. Amazing mission.
The mission of Fondi. But the example is that there are so many different parts of volunteering that it takes to run a small organization with that huge, important impact. There's never too little time either, right? Like anything. So when there are, you know, volunteer groups that come from, you know, corporate organizations, you know, Ellenbecker does that too, right? We have volunteer days and we pick different places to engage in time, you know, on an annual basis. So that's a really important thing. And even just being able to find, you know, again, you as a person, where you feel that you want to spend some time and where you want to devote some efforts. So anybody can find their place if they want to give time.
I love that. And, you know, one thing that we talked about as we were getting ready for today is, you know, what's like the first thing that comes to mind when you think about philanthropic giving, charitable giving? That answers it right there. I mean, what a great way to showcase an example of an organization where not only is it like the talent, but it's, you know, the time. And we haven't really talked about the actual treasure, which is people being able to support through resources of giving. And there are so many different ways for people to think about doing that. And that's, I think, where the power of planning and kind of like where that element of nuances. I mean, obviously, as we work with clients, we want to make sure they have a sound financial future.
Right.
They've been planning for their retirement, for their well-being, right?
Mm-hmm. So for that their family.
They could do the things that they want to do in their family. But this is just one of those overlays that I think really makes it even much more beneficial for them.
Yes.
And fulfillment. So it's absolutely like fulfillment and connections. And so I would just be humble enough to say that, you know, when I started here several years ago, it was something that really wasn't on my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't walk in the door here at EIG going, wow, I really know about all of these things and these different mm-hmm. ways to approach it. So why don't we talk a little bit about some of the things I've learned and, you know, obviously some of the things that you've been teaching some of the nonprofits from a standpoint of leadership about what they can do for their constituents or their, mm-hmm. their, you know, people that support the organization. Maybe what we'll do is we'll, you know, just take a quick break. And then sure. when we come back, we'll jump in right there.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Jamie Williams. I'm here with my colleague, Heather Deaton, fellow wealth advisor and certified financial planner. We've been having a great conversation about you know, your experience and being part of an organization as a leader. You also have spent quite a bit of time putting forth effort to educate as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear more about that because a lot of nonprofits, and I sit on a small board that supports veterans here locally in this Waukesha County area, Bell Tower Memorial.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So this is a great organization that started up about 12 years ago, and their mission was to build a memorial here somewhere locally.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That location had been sourced and then moved. The current location, which is, we're very happy to say it's been completed,
is at
Kiwanis Village Park in Pewaukee.
Okay.
So this is a veteran-sponsored, focused organization. And I am not a veteran, by the way, mm-hmm. but I have, you know, two grandfathers that served in World War II. And, you know, it was just something that I felt passionate enough about. So
you don't have to be a veteran to love and appreciate veterans.
And for me to step
in
and help them with mm-hmm. some of their things that they need on a day-to-day was where I felt, you know, I could support them. And so we're getting involved in a number of different projects in the community. One of the biggest things we do is the Veteran Oral History Project, where we get students from two of the local high schools to interview veterans. And then that whole videography is produced and then sent to the Library of Congress each year.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's really cool.
Yeah,
and then
yeah, yeah.
we have a big luncheon with the veterans and the students, and mm-hmm. we bring it all together. So each year there's a class, and then we kind of keep in touch with the veterans and help them with their needs.
That's great.
We actually have some World War II veterans.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we hosted an event here where they, you know, we've got people that are over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And they're still able to articulate and talk about their experiences.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
So thanks for asking. But when it comes to educating the people involved about how to give and ways for people to provide support, I think that's an area for us as financial planners where we can add value. So why don't
Certainly.
We start with that?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. So if somebody wanted to give money to a charity, I mean, mm-hmm. sure, people could drop $20 in right. the bucket, or they can maybe write a check. Sometimes maybe that's not the right way to go.
There are different ways. Again, we talked a lot about what the overall plan is. And so many of these fit into plans differently. So we'll just focus on the different ways to give mm-hmm. And maybe some of the reasons why people would give in these ways. So I look at it from a planning perspective as you're giving with a warm hand or you're giving a legacy. The warm sure. hand is while you're alive, and the legacy is a bequest at your death. It goes
or
through
passing,
your estate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. at your passing. So if we want to just talk about, all right, what do you do during your lifetime? What are some of the tactics and what are some of the opportunities that you have? You mentioned writing a check, dropping off cash. That's
kind of the traditional old school way, right?
Yeah. There are some, there's limited tax benefits right now because of how high the standard deduction is, whereas charitable giving is an itemized deduction. So if you don't itemize because they don't add up to be more than the very large standard deduction, you're not really getting a tax benefit for that giving. It is still important to the organization,
really
right?
Is.
But if you want to think of it differently, that's where we can come in with these different strategies. So there's a new part of the tax code is that you can actually get an above-the-line deduction. If you take the standard deduction, you can actually deduct before that up to $1,000 per taxpayer. So that's $2,000 for a joint, you know, married filing jointly of just charitable giving. It's only if you give like cash or that kind of treasure.
Items,
it's not your drop off at, you know, the thrift store. That doesn't count.
Sure. Okay.
So that's important to know. So if you had maybe not thought you were getting any kind of tax benefit, that actually came back into the fold for the next few years. That's just one of the things. Another thing to consider is if you've got some investments. So there's ways to give your investments that could actually give you even a better tax break. So what does that mean? Let's say I have a brokerage account, or maybe it's in the name of my trust, or you might know it as a TOD account, transfer on death account. It's anything that's like taxable. So not a retirement account.
Sure.
Not a Roth, not an IRA. So if you have something that, an investment that you hold in there and it has grown wildly in value, you know, these last many years, there's been so much market growth. If you bought a stock or a mutual fund a handful of years ago and you have not sold it yet, you probably have a pretty high gain in that mutual fund or stock. If you sell it, you made a profit. So then you are going to pay taxes on that profit. But if you take that stock or that mutual fund and you donate that to a nonprofit, that's a gift. So that's a charitable gift that would add to your itemized deductions, but you haven't sold it, so you made no profit. So you've now avoided what would have been taxes on the profits. Now the nonprofit, now that you're thinking, well, did I just pass a tax problem to this poor, struggling nonprofit? Nonprofits don't pay taxes.
That's right.
So they can take that investment, they can sell it, and then they can use that cash for their programming or their operational expenses. You've done what you wanted to do, and you've avoided some tax that you would have had you sold it and written them a check. So that's something to consider, and that's what, you know, we as advisors bring to our clients all the time when we look at charitable giving. Is sometimes it's not tax savings, it's tax avoidance.
That's right.
So that's an important one.
Highly appreciated securities.
Yeah.
So the example and actual real life examples that I've used were people that have maybe started a portfolio 20 or 30 years ago.
Right.
Because we're actually celebrating 30 years here at EIG this year.
Yeah.
Some of those clients that started early and they feel they have that willingness and eagerness to gift.
Yeah.
Maybe not to one, but many different organizations. And in that sense, we've been able to essentially just transfer right out of the brokerage, move it right over to the charity directly.
Yeah.
Or there's also something that's kind of, we're going to talk about alphabet soup here.
Yeah.
All these acronyms, donor advised fund, DAF, right?
Yeah.
That would be also something that people could consider funding with that highly appreciated securities. Do you want to talk about the donor advised?
Yeah. So a donor advised fund, we'll call it a DAF. They've gained tremendous popularity. There are billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, in donor advised funds right now. But what is that? That is a charitable fund that a donor funds, creates and funds. Now that is an irrevocable gift. When I put money into my donor advised fund, I can't ever get it back. It sits at a sponsoring organization that has
There are many.
So it sits at a certain sponsoring organization. Schwab
like
as our custodian.
Yeah.
Has a charitable arm. So you get that tax deduction for what you add in it in the year you put it into the fund.
Mm-hmm.
You get a tax deduction. From there, that fund can be invested and grow. And then I, as the donor advisor of that fund, I can grant from it to the nonprofits of my choice. Sometimes there's parameters around the potential nonprofits you can grant to from your donor advised fund, depending on where it's held. So be careful to watch that. You don't get a second tax deduction because you got that tax deduction when you put it in. But it's so much more simple than having to collect a whole bunch of different receipts and acknowledgments. You can fund your donor advised fund and you have one receipt to give to your tax advisor.
That's right.
So I love the fact that it's more simplified. I love the fact that it's a way to bundle. So if you typically give a kind of modest amounts every year, you never get that tax deduction because you don't stack enough to get above the high standard deduction. You could give, if you have the cash flow for it, you could give maybe a whole bunch in 1 year into a donor advised fund, and then you can still spread it across
multiple years.
So that's also why there's such a large accumulation of money inside these donor advised funds. That is what the nonprofits really want to know, is how do I find the people that, that have that?
Want to distribute that.
And it's not open yet. Like it's still like a closed system where if you have a donor advised fund, it's not public.
Right.
So that could be something that, you know, legislation comes in and changes just because of that buildup of all these tax advantages that people have gotten, but it's not actually out working for the community yet.
And I like how people can position it as, of course, we're using technical terms, but it's really like a personal foundation.
Right.
Almost, right?
Right?
Because
yep.
It's not just all about maybe one person giving. It could be a family. We've yes. got people that name these the Smith Family Foundation, just to use a general, as an example. And then there's legacy factors.
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can have a succession plan in place on this donor advised fund in case something happens to you as that donor advisor. And that can either go to where a family member or someone else now takes that on and they're in charge of granting from it. It's like pre-filling a charitable giving bucket for, in my example, it's pre-filling it for my kids, right? Because it's going to be our kids are in charge of it if something happens to my husband and I. Or you can have it just distribute out to a nonprofit at your death, or a combo of those things.
Sure. I like the culture of it because it allows families to bring this up as a talking point around, you know, whether if they're sitting at the dinner table together or maybe it's a holiday thing. And people say, well, research an organization. If there's something that you are quite passionate about, maybe your grandkids or family members can participate and then learn about the importance of giving.
And I know that's something that, you know, speaking of Ellenbecker Investment Group, that's a story that Karen Ellenbecker shares quite often, is that that's in their family culture, is the grandkids choose an organization, do the research, do a presentation, and then there's a donation made at the holiday in that grandchild's name for their chosen organization.
It's a great
idea. And again, you know, whether you're sending that out of a donor advised fund or whether you're sending that out of your checking account or your brokerage account, that's building that family culture and that family connection to what does it mean to be philanthropic.
And kind of tying in more acronyms here.
Yeah.
But that leads me to another kind of concept that I think is probably one of the more common, more prevalent ways for people to gift. There's, you know, a lot of age rules and things.
Correct.
But there are something called required minimum distributions, RMDs, that people have to take action on at a certain age. The age has changed, right? From since 2020, it was always 70 and a half.
Yes, and this is out of your retirement account.
This is your retirement, your IRA, when you've saved tax deferred, not Roth types of accounts, but IRAs, traditional IRAs, tax deferred. The tax code said at age 70 and a half, you had to take out a required minimum distribution based on a table. And then that changed.
It did.
In 2020, where then it was moved to 73.
Right.
And now they've actually updated that, the Secure, I think it was Secure Act 2.0. Now it's, if anybody is born after 1960, that date has moved to 75.
Right.
So there's a lot of dates here
with these lots
RMDs.
Of dates.
But there's one thing that's held true.
To 70 and a half.
70 and a half. Yeah. And we're actually acknowledging that for many of our clients when they turn 70 and a half. It's kind of fun that they could do something called a QCD.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
So that's a qualified charitable distribution. You already mentioned the alphabet soup. It's a QCD. That is a charitable donation that gets sent directly from your IRA to the nonprofit. It has to be done that way. It can't come to your checking account and then you write a check. That's not a QCD. So the magic about this QCD is that that goes straight from your IRA remembering that has never been taxed. You saved in it tax as a tax deferred, so you got a tax deduction way back. It grew over your lifetime. You're in your 70s. If you take a withdrawal from that, you get taxed. Every single penny you take out of that gets taxed as income. Anything after 70 and a half that comes out of that account and goes straight to a nonprofit does not get taxed. So again, that is tax avoidance. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are also in RMD status, which is 73 or 75 if you're a little younger, if you're also at RMD status, that charitable gift counts towards your RMD.
That's a fantastic thing.
Remembering that the reason there's a required minimum distribution to begin with is that the IRS says you can't keep that money and not pay taxes on it forever.
They don't want a dynasty thing happening.
Yeah. Here, so right? They want you to, they make you start taking it out so they can get some of their tax money. So to be able to donate some of that directly to charity and never pay taxes on it is pretty amazing, pretty
really
remarkable.
Yep.
And so that's a really great tactic that, starts at 70 and a half, so long before you're in required minimum distribution status, but it's still very valid. Because if you write a check from your checking account, that money has been taxed in one way or another. It has been or will be. If you have it sent directly from your IRA to the nonprofit, you've never paid taxes on it. And again, the nonprofit doesn't pay taxes on donations either. Yeah.
Couple of final thoughts on that concept. Yeah. One, extremely important to keep good records with that.
Correct.
Because many organizations, including our custodian, will offer a checkbook.
Yep.
We have ways to send clients checks directly from the custodian mm-hmm. to them, and then they can provide it. But the tax preparer, whether it's the individual or the professional, in our case, EIG, we have a tax team that records all of this and keeps track of it for our clients. We know, but if somebody does not accurately record it, it's not like they have to be a manual adjustment on the 1040. So
Sure. Yeah. So your tax preparer needs to know that you sent a portion of that withdrawal from the IRA that went to a nonprofit. So just be in close contact. That I would say for any of these giving strategies, be in close contact with your tax advisor because this is some really kind of fine tooth stuff that we're doing here,
Absolutely. Right?
You know, some pretty detailed strategies. Yep. They're all very doable. They're very important, but kind of if you really want to maximize your tax savings, we were talking about that donor advised fund, you know, you're going to hit a sweet spot as to how much should I put in that this particular year to get the best, most efficient tax savings. That's going to require a CPA to look at your situation. If you don't really aren't worried about that part and you just want to donate to it because of the ease, go ahead and do that. And same with like these QCDs, but it's just all really important to make sure
your
tax
your
advisor,
you need your team.
Yep. You need your financial advisor and your tax advisor.
Yep. And the biggest kind of eye opener for me is as we work with our clients, we meet with them regularly each year, at least once or twice a year. We're probably having several touch points throughout the year.
Right.
And we know like, hey, next year you're going to be 70 and a half. We learn about how they give. And, you know, so many times I've come across this where someone's new to our company, they're new to EIG, and I find out that they're giving like $1,000 a month to their church,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing it right from their checking account.
Right.
And
there's just different ways to do it.
They have this huge, you know, maybe they have like a $500,000 IRA or something, and they don't want to take their RMD, and that's like a perfect setup
exactly.
for that.
Exactly.
Good. That's thank you for sharing that. Those are
for sure.
Great concepts. Those two, I think, are probably core.
Yeah,
to our planning.
Yeah, that's kind of the couple things to remember on the takeaway. So that's some of the bigger things that you can do, like while you're living.
Mm-hmm.
There's some other fine tooth, comb things we could dig into, get into some detail planning. There's different ways you can use a QCD to like set up a charitable annuity for a nonprofit. You know, there's limitations on that, but that's something certainly a listener's advisor could walk through with them.
Absolutely.
But you know, the other way to give is when you don't need it anymore, when you pass away, right? So giving at the end is that kind of the next step after you give with a warm hand, then it's the legacy gift.
Sure.
So thinking about that, right? And how do you work in your philanthropic goals while you're trying to take care of your family, you want to take care of your community. That's a really important piece to plan really well. Working with your advisor and your estate planning attorney, you can name nonprofits right in your estate plan. You can say a certain percentage goes to them or a certain dollar amount goes to them. Any changes you make down the road, then you have to re-engage your estate planning attorney and redo your trust or your will.
Yeah, you know, like amend the trust.
Yeah, you have to do an amendment. Right. And that is perfectly fine. If you have a really stable relationship with that nonprofit and it still meets your values, you may want to name them directly. But you can also name a nonprofit as a beneficiary. That's just got more flexibility because it's just the beneficiary that's on any of your accounts or any of your insurance policies. So yep. That's another way that you can have more control over it. If you really have a dollar amount in mind or a percentage, or you want to make sure your kids get enough, whatever enough is in any given sure. moment, you have more flexibility to change the percentages on your beneficiary designations than always going back and cracking open your estate plan with the attorney. So one thing to think about if we're really, again, really trying to get the best and most tax efficient giving would be to have the nonprofit funds come from your IRA. Again, never been taxed. If you die and part of that goes to a nonprofit, they don't pay taxes on it. If whatever's left over goes to, I'm going to just use the example, if it goes to your kids, they're going to pay taxes on it.
That's right.
So
and maybe even on a more expedited basis.
Exactly. Because right. they have to take it out within 10 years. And if it's a large dollar amount and if they're in their highest working years. So there's just some reasons why which accounts go to a nonprofit. Talk to your advisor about that, because from a tax planning perspective, you know, we really want to think of your IRAs could go to the nonprofit, Roths go to your kids, and even those brokerage accounts that we said were great to give from while you're alive, your kids get a step up in basis and all that gain that you've accumulated goes away for them. So again, mm-hmm. that should go to people, whereas IRAs should go to nonprofit organizations. If you have that kind of flexibility, if you are blessed enough to have a portfolio with a lot of diversification like that.
Most definitely. And I know there's many other instruments out there
yeah.
that we, you know, we could touch on. But I think what we'll do is we'll take a quick break here and we'll come yeah. back and kind of wrap things up. Money Sense is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm here with Heather. We've been having a wonderful conversation about philanthropic charitable giving. Mm-hmm. Say that three times.
Right.
And sharing a lot of great concepts about our personal experiences, as well as concepts relating to how to do it, right? Yeah. Like the mechanics. So the one big takeaway, I think I might have mentioned it earlier, was that, you know, I think people kind of shy away, or they kind of don't, if they don't know about something and it's not widely discussed
right.
or available, it's hard to find out how to learn about some of these
yes.
things. And one thing I've noticed for many of our clients, and especially for myself and our colleagues, is that becoming educated on this, the more you mm-hmm. know, provides more benefit and, you know, potential.
Absolutely.
Just kind of opens up the mindset or the idea of possibilities, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, being curious.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said it best, like when you don't know about something and you might shy away from learning more, you also might not know because it's never been in front of you.
Exactly.
Right? It's the old, you don't know what you don't know. So yes, definitely be educating yourself, being curious.
I have a relative that has CF, cystic fibrosis,
mm-hmm.
and she's now in college. She's doing wonderful with her disease. But each year we go on the walk,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Walk for a Cure. It's a great organization, and we've gotten to know the leadership
yeah,
in the Milwaukee chapter,
mm-hmm.
and it's profound at how much benefit she's received from that organization in the form of special drug, you know, trials and, you know, she's now,
access to things.
She's now a freshman in college. She did dance. She was in, you know, just wonderful. So when I came to EIG, we were, I was informed we have this great benefit each year on our work anniversary. We get to share our charity of choice, and then our EIG Charitable Foundation supports that charity for us, and then we get a chance to educate our team. So
that's great. Yeah.
I love that. I feel like that's a huge, that's one of the things that helped me understand what the potential was.
Yeah, for sure.
So as far as other key takeaways, Heather, do you have anything else that you'd want to say, you know, maybe from the planning side or, you know, how important it is to work with a team?
I would say that you said the word planning, like that is a great place to start. Bring in a team. Right. So you can talk with your wealth advisor, you can talk with your tax advisor to make sure that whatever you end up doing aligns with your goals so you can have confidence. Right. We want everyone to have confidence and conviction in what their choices and decisions have been. That overall personalized philanthropic plan that starts with, you know, what are your motivations? Where do you want to go? That plan can change over time.
Right.
Right. When you've got multiple goals weighing on you, like your kids are little and you're building your career and you're
probably
saving
not the
for
first
college,
thing on your mind.
Right? Like, you know, how to give away part of your money might not be the biggest priority. And as you age and you accumulate and you live a life and you have all these experiences and you see the impact of what giving of any time and talent treasure can do for your community, that's going to change over time. So kind of keeping that as something that is continuing to, you feed your plan, right? You're going to want to go back and look at your plan. Our younger son graduates from college this year, right? Mm-hmm. So things are going to be different in these next handful of years for us. And how might that change how we approach charitable giving and our philanthropy goals? So that is, I would say, the planning. So that's my long way of saying key takeaway is just start with a plan on the why. Start with the why. The what and the where, you know, that's aligning your values with organizations. The how, you know, again, is that going to be time? Is it going to be treasure? Is it going to be a combination? And then, you know, some of those more detailed tactics, really kind of the when and the what, you know, that all kind of comes back to it as well. So it's the plan. And you know, I love that we get to and are encouraged to talk to our clients about what any of that means to them. And again, we watch clients grow through all of these different decisions as well. And that's been a real gift, you know, watching families grow, watching how clients, you know, live into their values, whatever those are.
Finding a way, right?
Yep, and it
may not be always money.
Right. Might not always be money.
But one of the things that I always kind of like to think about is, as our clients get closer to retirement, we want them to think about what they're retiring to,
right?
Not necessarily what they're retiring from. And that's one way. We have many of our colleagues here at EIG sit on boards.
Yep.
One of the ones that comes to mind is Hawes, right? Mm-hmm. The local Humane Society for Animals. And they have a farm that they have a shelter and they always need people. And then, you know, maybe just even volunteering, helping out the seniors.
Yep.
There's so many different things that people could do outside of staying active and staying healthy. That's important. Mm-hmm. And that's one way for people to achieve mental health, too.
Yeah, for sure.
So thank you, Heather.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie. This was great.
Yep. And so we'd like to thank you for tuning in today. We hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial lives and that you've had some great takeaways. Before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. And if you have any questions or you'd like to learn more, please reach out to Ellen Becker at ellenbecker.com or reach out to any one of our great staff here at EIG for more information. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member. And be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.